Welcome to the Occupational Safety Leadership Podcast, episode number 18, Obtaining Management Support for Safety. This is one that I can't call it the holy grail of safety, but this is one that a lot of safety professionals struggle with. I wish I could tell you there's a one-size-fits-all, just do these and then everything's good. A lot of it depends on the culture. Let's sit down and talk about a couple of strategies and just things that maybe we can do to get that management support to help us out at our individual site. So one of the things with management support is that there probably isn't a real definition out there. You know, it's something that we can see. It's, you know, at times it wavers. So it would be very, very hard to put a scale on it. You know, would you say that management support is 75% and more for safety when it comes to executives? It's very hard to put a real definition on it. But I know it when I see it, you know, and it's really from the actions of the management team, because just like all things, they're being pulled in a lot of directions. We like to think that safety is number one and they always care about the people too. But reality is, it's just one of several things they have to juggle every day. I know a lot of fantastic leaders, and for them, safety really is one. But I also know a lot of fantastic ones that will tell you, I have to balance everything, you know, quality, production, return to the shareholders, you know, just things like that. So we have to really see it, to really probably define it. So let's look at a couple of examples. And some of these, of course, are low-hanging fruit, whereas other ones are kind of after you're past the low-hanging fruit, you can really start to get better and fine-tune and kind of get better. So let's talk about first the policy statements that we have. You know, whether it's a overall policy signed by the director, the vice president, the president, you know, is it also something that's communicated in meetings? Do you have it posted around the facility? Is it something that they only sign and stick it on the website, but yet nobody really knows it's there because we're busy working? We don't have time to go back and look at our website that's facing out to the public, out to the customer. Also, ones that are a little more difficult to measure, do you have adequate funding? So I always get the funding I need to get things done. The problem is it takes time. So for me, I'd say that I really have adequate funding. I have spoken to a lot of people that they believe that they do not have adequate funding. And so I would have to say that you don't have management support. That doesn't mean that you have a blank check, but if they're really not willing to address hazards and even give you the money, the time, the resources, it probably will not get solved then. So is there a public commitment to solve issues for root cause? You know, all of us in safety know that the easiest thing that we can do is blame that person who got hurt. But that's not the root cause then. So there are people who want to believe that it's always a person who gets hurt. But we know, much like an onion, peel back the different layers and there's going to be a root cause. And just like peeling back an onion, sometimes you do cry in this whole process at the same time. Let's look at a couple other examples out there. So another example, of course, do you have FaceTime with the executives? Or is FaceTime when there's an accident and they want to know why that you didn't stop it? You know, so it can be a positive, proactive FaceTime, or it can be a very negative, reactionary FaceTime on why something happens and why you didn't stop it, you know. There's a lot of places that are running shifts. So is safety the first thing covered at the shift pass down meetings? You know, all of us know that when people show up for these meetings, they're very focused on production and what's down, what's not down, how do you get things better? And then their interest kind of starts to wane as the meeting goes. If you talk about safety first, everybody's there in the room. They just don't get in, say what they got to say, and then leave because that's the first thing covered. So do you have annual goals and objectives? And it can't be something that the safety person has got to do. It has to be for the other departments as well, because you can't be everywhere. You can't run everything for everybody. That's why that you have to have that management support. Another one, if there's any type of evacuation, you know, is it going to be from a toxic gas, fire, or are you just practicing? You know, practicing takes time, commitment, and money too. You know, I know a lot of places that they are not willing to practice because they just don't have the time and money and resources, so they believe. But they will write statements and they'll be ready to go. So anytime that you get time to say, we're going to run a drill, we're going to test this system, because anybody can write something down, but you really have to execute it to see if it even works. Safety and health training. Do you have the money and resources to do training? Or are they going to say, we're going to do training when somebody gets hurt, and then we're going to train that one department only, like maybe on chemical handling, lockout, tagout, whatever the accident was, but we're not really willing to kind of spread that training throughout every place and really look at the hazards out there. So, do you have a system in place to address and track safety issues? And it can't be for the safety person to do. You know, you can kind of monitor it and help with plans, and you can come with the interim solution and long-term solutions and help out in there. But is there something where the people are tracking? Because not only is there accidents and injuries, chemical spills, that kind of stuff to go back and address, but what are you going to do on the proactive stance when you're buying something new or you're looking at training? Is everybody done on time? Or we trained up enough people and then we kind of lost interest. So we missed it. We missed a few. So there has to be a way to go back and actually track all these things. So now that we've kind of talked about a couple of examples, I think we've done a good job of really kind of saying there really is no easy answer out there. So one of the things that has helped me over all the years and could possibly help you is when you think about your argument for management support, goals, objectives, and all that kind of stuff, it seems like what works good for me is that I have to tailor my argument for my audience. I can't use the same exact words when I talk to the vice president and like directors, of course, when I talk about things like a loss of customer base and money lost and potential press coverage. And when I talk to the finance people, I have to talk about money lost, incurred risk, increased overtime. Quality people, you have to talk about loss and lesser the quality out there. But when it comes time for operations, of course, you have to use some different terms when you talk about cycle time, production lost, training a new person to take that person's spot. Just like when you go down and you talk to the janitor, he doesn't really care about money lost and customer base lost and stuff. You have to tailor your argument for the janitor. Just like for the maintenance person, you tailor it for the maintenance person, the supervisor for the supervisory positions. You have to really sit down and of course it's perfectly okay to practice to kind of say, okay, when I meet this kind of job, I'm going to present my argument in this fashion, you know. Because there really is no one-size-fits-all. Just like if I tried to use the same exact terms I use for the guy who welds in the welding shop, and I tried to use it on the president and vice president, it would probably fall flat on its face because they just don't have that frame of reference out there. So tailor your arguments. That's been something that's really worked for me and hopefully works for you too. Let's look at a couple others. So one of them that I have used and it's worked out very good for me. I've seen other people use it and it did not work out good for them, is that if you tie raises and bonuses to safety performance. Now that means that you have to have a accurate system to track these things. You also have to have that management support in the first place so that you don't have people who see it as, so if there's an accident in my department, I'm not going to get a raise or a bonus. I've heard of companies that then cover up accidents because now it's tied to the raises and bonuses. So this is one that's very culture dependent upon. You really have to have that culture in place to really sit down and tie this. And it doesn't mean that you don't say 100%. You could just say something like 15% of your raise and bonus is going to be on safety. Just like, of course, you're going to balance out the quality and the production and all the other kind of stuff too then. So this has worked out very good for me, but in other safety professionals I've talked to, it's been very mixed results. And that is it for episode 18. This is a very short and sweet episode. And we talked about obtaining management support for safety. There's not going to be a magic bullet out there. There's not going to be a one culture, a one thing that's going to fit across all cultures. It does take time to examine the cultures, just like it also, you have to get to a place in your culture where you can honestly bring up things. You can talk to the people and they know that you're going to fix it. They may not like your answer, of course, when you go back, but they at least know that when items are brought up, they're going to be addressed by the management team. That's it, episode 18. This is the Occupational Safety Leadership Podcast. My name is Dr. David Ayers. Have a safe day.